Well, good morning. Are you anticipating hearing from God this morning? If you came to hear me, you'll probably be disappointed. If you came to hear from God, He won't let you down. If we seek Him, those who seek Him find Him. Walking through a renewal series that we started week before, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord Jesus, again we ask, Father, we need you. We need to hear from you. Not our best thinking. I need renewal. We need renewal. We need to understand how we are your people, called by your name. And then what's an appropriate response to who you are and your calling on us. Would you teach us this morning, Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. I dealt with my people 2 weeks ago, the first part of it, my people who are called by my name. And now we're just going to deal with two words this morning. Humble themselves. Humble. So we're going to walk through a bit of a definition, the meaning. What does it mean to humble themselves? What was God calling them to do? What's the purpose of humbling ourselves? Or them, when speaking to His people back there in Chronicles, and of us. What are we called to do? How will we respond to God? How do we humble ourselves? Well, there's a couple of definitions. I think they come on the next slide there so you can see them as well. Humility is the noun. Humble is the verb. Humility, the noun being, it's the central thought is freedom from pride. So it's experiencing a lowliness, a meekness, a modesty, a mildness. Another commentator wrote, the habitual frame of mind of a child of God is that one who feels not only that he owes all his natural gifts, abilities, etc., to God, but that he has been the object of undeserved redeeming love, and who regards himself as being not his own, but God's in Christ. He cannot exalt himself, for he knows that he is nothing of himself. And meekness is understanding it's all about God. And we don't bring anything of, wow, isn't that amazing in and of ourselves? But it's about Him, what He's done, what He's given us, and we use it for His glory. Biblical humility is grounded in the character of God. The Father stooped down to help the poor and needy. I mean, Scripture's full of it, but look at Psalm 113 and Psalm 138 if you want to look at that later. Father stoops down. The incarnate Son exhibits humility from the manger to the cross. Flows throughout each of the Gospels, especially in Matthew 11. Look further, Acts 8, it's developed there at the end of Acts 8, and Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Jesus lives out this humble life, this humility before God and people. Another commentator spoke, the dual usage of meek and humble in heart in Matthew 11, 29 emphasizes Christ's humility before humankind, whom He came to serve, as well as His submission before God. So it's before all that He empties Himself of Him. And He's just before God. He comes, right? Anything He taught, He received from the Father. So it's not Him trusting in Himself. It's He learned to walk with God. He emptied Himself. If we go to the next slide, there's a bit of a picture there of a cube. It's a picture of humbleness, humility. Emptied of self. recognizing we have nothing good in and of ourselves. And the world would say, that's a terrible place to start. Just build people up. But it's an amazing starting place. We don't bear the responsibility to be something wild and special and whatever else. But nor is this saying that we're so empty that we're worthless, that I'm bad, I am nothing. It's emptying of ourselves in a humble way, recognizing we don't bring anything of ourselves that's good into the equation, but not that we're bad or we're unworthy. Jesus said, you're worth dying for. So it's always balanced with that. Because if we start to believe the lie, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not this, I'm just bad, and I'm stupid, and I believe some of those other lies about ourselves, then we'll swing over another way to the next picture. We'll become full of ourselves. It's all about us. We can't honestly, biblically empty ourselves, then we try and overcompensate, and we're full of ourselves, and it's actually not even that accurately represented. But if we go to the next slide, we try and present ourselves as bigger than reality in this overcompensating. We have an inflated self. We're obsessed with self. The world would preach, just be yourself. Trust in yourself. And when faced with tough decisions, this generation increasingly asks, how do I feel about that? Right? Even the way we interpret Scripture. Well, yeah, I don't really agree with that part of it. And it's about us. We're dismissing some of what God says because we have an over-inflated self and we're obsessed with self. And we trust how we think and how we feel more than the truth that God has revealed. That is a very dangerous road to travel. This inflated self, right? Social media can really promote this. We can seek the fame, the input from others by presenting just this picture of ourselves on social media. But we can't live freely. We can't live the abundant life that Jesus has promised while we're trying to live this facade that we present on social media or that we present to each other. And it doesn't just happen to happen in social media, does it? We all present the picture of ourselves to each other that we want them to see. We start to live a lie. We start to live false lives and believing, reinforcing, boy, if you really knew the real me, you wouldn't actually like me, so I'm going to try and be something I'm not. Whereas humility is emptying of self. It's not about us, a godly emptying of self. Right? This inflated view, all boasting and gloating, does is really confirm that we need the appreciation of others. Even when we falsely boast, right? We can sort of humble ourselves on the outside, but we know where our hearts really are at. Rather, this leads to a third picture where we're full of Christ. We can't make this part happen. The call here, Jesus reminds his people, right? It's when they're celebrating the finishing of the temple and there's worship going on that he brings this passage. This verse, if my people, he knows they're going to go get focused on themselves and trust in the gifts that God has given them and the things he's put into their lives. They're going to trust in themselves again. And he says, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will return to me, then he meets us powerfully. Jesus not only strongly impressed his disciples with the need of humility, but he was himself its supreme example. He described himself as meek and lowly in heart. We've already mentioned that since Matthew 11:29. The first of the Beatitudes was to the poor in spirit in Matthew 5. And it was to the meek who should inherit the earth. These words all have similar root and similar meaning. Humility is the way to true greatness. He who should stand, who should humble himself as this little child, should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever shall humble themselves will be exalted. It's Luke 14. For everyone who exalts himself, right, tries to present ourselves as big, something else, grandiose, will be humbled. Praise God that he loves us enough to humble us. And he who humbles himself, he's calling, my people will humble themselves. Then I will. He will lift us up. He will fill us with him, right? We're not called to a life of, oh, well, I'm nothing. I can't say anything. That life of fear means we're living not a humbled life. That means we're living out of ourselves. That's why we live in fear. Jesus gives us a spirit of courage and of faith, but it's in him, not in ourselves. And humility leads to that. That kind of bold living for Jesus. The Acts of the Apostles wasn't just for back then. He's called us to bold proclamation now. It takes an enormous amount of strength, security, and confidence to be humble. But it's strength and security and confidence that we receive. It's confidence in God, not self-confidence. Self-confidence leads to one of the first two distortions. Rather than the reality of the abundant life, truly humbled before God. He says, humble themselves, if my people will humble themselves. So what action was he calling the people to do? What is he exhorting them? Do this. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Action is he calling? Well, I'm going to go back and continue to define humility a bit, or look more at the purpose of humility. Just going to summarize a few verses on the next slide. God humbles us for our own good. Deuteronomy 8. God hears the prayers of the humble. We're coming back to the verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that we're walking through. He does a lot more in this verse, but that's one of the things. He hears the prayers of the humble. God saves those who are humble. He stands against the proud. If we're going to trust in ourselves, then we're left to ourselves, our own devices, our own saving, and that doesn't lead to anything. He saves those who are humble. I need a Savior, Psalm 18, and many other places. God preserves the lives of humble people, Psalm 147. Those who are humble become wise. Because we're not relying on our own thinking and wisdom primarily, but his, God of all knowledge and wisdom. God cares for the humble, Isaiah 66:2. God will exalt the humble. We've already heard that again in Luke 18 here. Be humble in dealing with others. I'll mention something about that later, Philippians 2, 1-11. But it's humbling ourselves first, otherwise we can't be humble in dealing with others. Humble yourself before God. I've already read James 4:10, but Leviticus is full of it. I sometimes think of Leviticus, sleepy book, powerful book of both God's holiness, his character, and a powerful book of humbling ourselves before God. It calls us, it exhorts us. And God says here in this passage in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. So what action were the people to be doing? Well, first, humility is a decision. We decide to move in that direction. We decide to empty ourselves. It's not forced, but it's willing. And it's uncomfortable to do that. We love trusting in ourselves. Like I said, even when they're celebrating God, he gives the warning in this passage, I know you're still going to slip back into trusting in yourself. and your amazing thing, right? Throughout Scripture. Hey, we can build this tower. We can do this, right? All apart from God. And we bring glory to ourselves. We'll make a name for ourselves. Ourselves, ourselves, ourselves. No humility. True humility bows before God. It decides to do that. I would like a better illustration here, but personally speaking, like, it's uncomfortable. Leading the number of teams we did with Venture Teams International, there was times where God showed me there's something broken in our team dynamic or in what's going on, and I wanted to go, okay, God, I want to spend enough time with you. Give me the answer so I can go explain it to the team, and then we can move forward. And repeatedly, he kept humbling me. He goes, no, I'm actually going to bring the answer of what's broken and the resolution to it through the team. Your part is to just humbly bring it up. Let the body be the body. And so I go to the team and I go, I don't know what's broken. I'm not sure what's out of alignment with what God's leading us, calling us to do and to be and whatever else. That's my sense. What do you guys think? And the team would start to respond, I have a sense of this. I have a sense of that. All right, there's a beginning. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. God, can you reveal more? Somebody else, somebody else. Often I had nothing else to contribute as a team leader. It wasn't about me. It's about him leading us for his glory. But it takes some humility to actually ask that. I like the way we meet as a council. We don't have one person who has all the answers. For such a time as this, he brings a team together. We work together and he speaks and he works through the body. It's a decision. We won't trust in ourselves. We will. We willingly set ourselves aside. But nor it's a decision that can't be voiced very often either, right? Not even in our thoughts. False humility is really ugly. And we are so sinful that we can take pride in our humility. That's how sinful we are. We can come across as humble and, well, I don't really need the applause or the thanks of men. But if we're really honest about our hearts, often that's exactly what we're seeking. We want to hear people's appreciation. We're really living for their response, not freely living for the Lord. That's a false humility. Like I say, we can't say it even in our thoughts. And we recognize in our own thoughts when we let God examine us, is there any sinful way in me? He sometimes reveals that we're pursuing something other than his glory. A mistake which makes you humble is better than an achievement that makes you arrogant. Boy, our society's focused on achievement, isn't it? Competitive nature. Here's what I achieve. That does feel good. It's appropriate. Wow, you know what? Our team doesn't want to come up here and do a poor job of leading us in music, giving them gifts to use for God's glory. And it's not arrogant to say, hey, thanks for playing so well, and for investing the time in practicing. That's not arrogant, but we can shift. We know when we are shifting, don't we? When we're really being honest with ourselves and with God. And it's become about us. Become about others, people's responses to us. But it's great to make a good mistake that humbles us. We need it. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Thank you, God. Horrible process. I don't like it, but I certainly need it, and it gives what I need, not what I want. Humility is a decision. We willingly choose it. It can't be forced. Nobody else can decide for us. We choose humility. Empty ourselves. Lord, here's where I'm making it about me. Reveal where I'm making it about me. And are we that honest, even with our thoughts, that he can reveal, hey, there's mixed motives here. We're on journey. Not that we'll get it perfect. It's not about that. It's about emptying ourselves in a biblical sense, that we can be full of Christ. We can accept the truth about ourselves and about God and about our place in the world. It's not empty as in, I have no place in the world. I can't speak truth ever because I fail still. I whatever else. It's a godly understanding of our worth, of who He is, of who we are, and then taking hold of that full place in the world. The things He's called you to do, He doesn't say, go do timidly. He says, go do in faith in Me by the power of the Spirit. Don't trust in yourselves. Trust in Me. Right? Trust in God. Trust also in Me, Jesus says. So fully take your place in the world. That's not arrogance, unless you're doing it for the benefit of yourself, for your own glory. But it's not arrogant to live boldly for Christ, to boldly proclaim His truth, to boldly love people. It's what we're called to do. Boldly, courageously. But it starts with being humble. It starts there. If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves. I want to look briefly here at some signs of lack of humility. Right out of this verse. If My people who are called by My name, right, God blesses us, thank You, put us in the land, temple's built, things are going great. We start to trust in ourselves. We'll humble themselves. Step one, make that choice. And what's a sign of lack of humility? If we don't pray. Our prayer life is very, very minimal, minuscule, or non-existent. How is that a reliance and dependence on God? I don't really need You. I got it, man. I got enough bank account. I got enough of this. I got enough skills. I got enough good thinking. I'm good. I'm good without You. Do you hear the arrogance in that? The pride. God stands against the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Prayer is an intentional dependence upon God. And this is played out personally in our families, corporately, provincially, federally, nationally, internationally? Do we have a humility before God that we need Him to show up and not just us? Do we pray for our leaders? We're exhorted to in Scripture, or do we just complain about them? This is what I think they're doing wrong. What I. What's God up to? He puts people in positions of power. Humble ourselves. Recognize where we're arrogant, where we're not praying. Next it says, seek My face. We'll cover these more detail in the coming weeks. But they're also evidence of lack of humility, of step one. Are we seeking God? Do we only pray, do we really only seek Him when we find ourselves between a so-called rock and a hard place? Oh, I've tried to fix this on my own. Oh, I need a different answer. Hey, would you, but I just want the answer. I'm not actually seeking Him. Seeking His face is being in relationship with God, with Almighty God. He's made a way. We can be in relationship with Him. How full of Scripture is, remain in Me as I remain in you. Abide in Me. Apart from Me, you can do nothing, right? The vine and the branches. So much of Scripture is being in relationship, but are we just seeking, I just want the blessings You give me. It's evidence that we're actually not humble before Him. I just want to make life work on my own. Give me what I want. Thanks, good. Got that, now I'll run on my own again. Look at Scripture, it just repeats and repeats. We are have way too much faith in ourselves and our own thinking and our own plans and schemes and whatever else, and far, far too little faith in God. Are we seeking Him? Really seeking Him, just to know Him. That's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, being in real relationship with Him, revered, reverence before Him, not just the gifts that He gives. We can do this or that, right? Even in the church, we could lead this church by our own best thinking, where we can humbly come before God and go, wow, it's not about my preference, my perspective. God is leading us. We set that side aside, things aside. We set them aside intentionally. Decide to humble ourselves. And then he also says, turn from your wicked ways, from their wicked ways. This is regularly, consistently, constantly repenting, allowing, search my heart, O God, right? Who of us recognizes our own blind areas? Yeah, we don't. We need someone else. We need to be in such close proximity with each other that, oh, there is a way of trusting in myself. Our own sin shows up. I hate parenting for that reason. I love parenting. It's fun to journey with these little people. Well, getting bigger people, then gonna look up to, that's crazy. But it points out my own sin. What an incredible, horrible blessing. Right? I don't want to see my own sin up that close and personal. But I absolutely need to. I need to be humbled, and I need to recognize just how bad I need God. I need a Savior today as much as I did when I first received Him. I need Him in an ongoing way. And so repentance shouldn't be something that we do once in a while. It's constant. It's consistent. It's a part of life on the planet. Get used to it. Otherwise, we're not really facing who we really are. And the holiness of God. We're not really facing who He is. So, where are you on your journey today? If my people will humble themselves. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this isn't something we can do apart from You. We will only have the courage to do this if we understand that we are Your people, called by Your name. You take possession of us. Call us My people. You don't do that unapologetically. This is my son, I'd rather not have anybody know. You boldly declare us Your people. You love us. You die for us. You live for us. If we could only understand how You pursue us and how valued we are, we wouldn't need to seek the value, the affirmation of other people so much. Would You continue to humble us, God? In fact, would You grow us that we would choose, decide to humble ourselves before You? Not being forced to, but willingly. Not twisting it and proclaiming it or voicing it out loud, pursuing something else on the side. Really letting You search our hearts. Engaging the truth about ourselves and about You and our rightful place in the world. You're the light of the world. Some of us think we shine of our own selves, and some of us think, oh, that can't really be true. I'm the dimmest light on the planet. And we put ourselves down. There's a balanced perspective when we're really in walking in relationship with You. We take our full rightful place, not less, not more, just the right amount when we are walking humbly before You. Would You help us understand our worth, our intrinsic worth and value, and walk with You. Father, I see throughout history, I see even not only individuals, but church body, the congregations can take, we tend to swing one way or the other. those who are really harsh and condemning of sin, even though you've said you came not to condemn, but to seek and to save, those who are condemning are not humble before you. But neither are those who coddle and put up with sin in their midst are not humble. Again, somewhere in the midst of it, there's a balance. Those who truly humble before you, we're facing our sin regularly, consistently. We're pursuing you and the truth as you've revealed it. And aligning with that, we are humbled and we're seeking to bring glory to you. We're able to love people genuinely without letting them continue in sin. But nor are we condemning and harsh with people, because we recognize you're not condemning and harsh with us, but you come and seek and save us. We're recipients of your mercy regularly, so that we can extend mercy to others. Lord, help us choose today to humble ourselves before you, because we are your people. We thank you. Amen.